It's Thursday the 18th of August. It's episode 93 of Digital Outbox. Hello, good evening, and welcome along to yet another exciting episode of Digital Outbox. My name's Ian. Joining me tonight is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hello.
How come it's going to be exciting? What's going to be so exciting about this episode? tumbleweed.
Yeah, exactly. I just paused. I'll cut that bit out and just put tumbleweed in.
Yeah.
For about a minute and a half. And people will be sitting there thinking, when's it going to finish? What's exciting? It's all the topics are like really boring.
Yeah.
Oh, and I've just been...
We got some riot stuff. We got some Google spending money stuff. We've got some HP not selling anything stuff. Some privacy stuff and, you know, run of the mill and stuff. But we've got some... We're going to look forward to some games at the end. So that'll get us to the end, I'm sure.
Yes.
Excitement of games.
And just, I was just distracted by a text. Sorry. I really should mute. There you go. Muted.
Well, very good.
Very good.
Is that because the text is about Halo?
No, the text was about... I can't tell you.
Okay. You'd have to shoot me and everyone out there.
Yes, so...
In listener land.
Cracking on. London yep. riots. Now, since our last podcast, the country's gone to pot.
Yeah, it's broken.
And I'd like to put out as England riots. Okay. Because I saw people really hacked me off on Twitter saying, oh, rioting in Tottenham, just like a normal night in Glasgow. Get it right up, you. Nothing like that up here.
Nothing never goes down like that.
No, I must admit that the stuff that at Tottenham was fairly shocking, but the Monday night stuff just it just broke all over London, and it was people that I knew on Twitter that were in London. I was like, and it was affecting them. You're like, my God, this is...
Yeah, there's some horror stories out there. And I guess it's not really our place to sort of go through all those, but there is a technological angle to this, which is the response to how social media was used for good and for bad.
So social media is to blame, seemingly, if you read the right-wing Tory rags and also some of the, you know, I mean, Cameron stood up and said it. He wants to control social media, it wasn't so much that he put it that social media was to blame. But he also talked about how it spread fear and panic because there were a lot of,
misinformation tweets.
False stories. I mean, there was one really bad one. Somebody take a picture of tanks in Egypt and says, oh, they've got tanks in a certain bit of London. And people were believing it. And I'm like, it's not a UK tank. Maybe it's just me that knows UK tanks. Maybe that is my specialist subject. If you're ever on like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and a tank question comes up, I'm your man. But it's just bizarre. That people believe in something. But I think it was just it was on all the rolling news channels. It was, you know, so many people were affected. You know, it was spreading to Manchester and Birmingham and Liverpool and it was like, where's this going to stop? So I think there was a bit of that, but at the same time, you know, riot cleanup was started that Monday night. It picked up a massive following. It got more people on the streets than it did rioters. You know,
it got on the main news, absolutely, which is obviously a good thing. But it helped diffuse some of that situation because it gave an outlet to all the people that, you know, didn't like the, you know, what was happening to their towns and cities.
Yeah, and it was. I must admit, I mean, this is going to sound really cheesy, but I thought one of the best pictures to come out of it was when you saw 300-400 people all kind of standing there with their brooms. It was a very kind of Dunkirk, you know.
With most police saying, no, don't sweep it up, we want the evidence.
Yeah, but you know, it was almost like that kind of post-war spirit and we won't be defeated and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It was great.
I was a bit shocked how quickly there were a lot of people went, you know, when we saw all the riots in the Far East, you know, we all bemoaned the governments there for doing all the things that they did and do.
But we wanted
everyone on. Then I say no, not everyone. That's not fair. There was an immediate response to to get our government to try and do the same kind of things, which is
where's the water cannons?
Yeah,
get the water cannons.
And the police are out on the street saying water cannons are not for this situation. That doesn't won't help us. Anyway, so but you know, people saying we'll just lock them all up and all that stuff, which we appear to be doing now.
Well, sticking with the kind of social media aspects, the police are actually using social media. They're putting up pictures. And asking people to identify. So I think there's a couple of the forces down south have got Flickr sites, and they're putting up pictures from the kind of two or three nights of riots and saying, please help us identify these people.
And there's more centrally organised ones, aren't there? There's Catch a Looter on Tumblr. Yes. That's been set up, which you can post up pictures of the looters and people can then identify them.
Absolutely. One big story, and I don't know if it got down south as well, there was one Glaswegian that set up a Facebook page that says, let's riot in Glasgow on Friday the 12th, because it was a week and a bit ago.
It didn't just get to down here, it's all over America as well.
Yeah, but the thing about that was he put the page up and most right-minded people were like, get a grip. And they reported the page and it gets taken down. So he did it again, saying, you guys can't have a laugh. But the good thing from my point of view, he was arrested. And but his case hasn't been heard. There's two people from down south, whoever, who did the similar thing.
Yes, he's going to be sweating now, or he should be.
Yeah, because they've been given four years in jail. He is out on appeal, the chap that got the 4 years, because he is going to appeal. So he's been bailed and he can't use the internet. But it's a massive, massive jail sentence for setting up a Facebook page, which did obviously cause a lot of trouble or potential trouble, because the one that got the jail wasn't something that took place in riots. He turned up and nobody else was there. his page has basically caused some fear, and he's got 4 years for it, which is a pretty massive sentence.
Yes, and this is where the what we consider to be the anonymity of the web is not there anymore, as far as you are responsible for your tweets, your Facebook actions and all those kind of things, and the police are now going after them, and especially because there's a general feeling in the community of people want to see action. There's lots of stories now about how long are the sentences and what's reasonable, and making sure that there's been some inconsistency that they're trying to sort out. But I guess you've got to try and compare, when there's no body of law, how do you work out how much setting up a Facebook page, which incites people to go and, go and riot? Well, I guess you do it the same as if someone had posted something in a shop window.
See, from my point of view, see, if they've done the crime, then you need to do the time. I know it's a kind of a really bad cliche, but see the folk that are kind of shocked that somebody's done something, they're getting 6 months for accepting stolen goods. Well, tough, you knew where it came from, you shouldn't have done it, and I think I was kind of shocked at some of the people that were getting up in court first was things like a teacher who was in Richard Sounds, and it's like, well, what are you doing? I'm not saying they're getting paid loads of money, but you're in a job, you've got responsibilities, don't go robbing things.
Yep.
Anyway, there was one. The Greater Manchester Police are actually using Twitter as well, so they're revealing details of those that are convicted.
So as a jail sentence goes and gets given,
yep,
they put that detail out there, don't they?
Yes. So name, date of birth, addresses, which is you can get if you sat in court anyway. So it's not they're not breaking any rules, but there are.
But it is just you've got to take the rough with the smooth with things like Twitter.
Absolutely.
It makes everything easier, including getting information, bad information. So.
Absolutely.
I hope that the idea of closing down social networks and things in times of crisis, well, I just hope that it doesn't go any further. There's been a lot of...
I think that's my fear.
There's definitely worrying, especially with the talk from David Cameron at the moment.
Well, this almost legitimizes some of the very right-wing views that people have about how we control and how we need to bring in kind of certain legislation, and I just hope this doesn't now get misused.
Yeah, an American story this week, it's relevant here, which is that the Bay Area underground system, they've got a wireless network underground, so you can still connect while you're using their system. Well, there was a fear that we're going to use that system to riot and protest, and they shut down that wireless access, and it caused outcry. it was an unproved thing that this was going to actually happen, you know, these protests or whatever. So it's just interesting to see how they've reacted to these same things of shutting down communication networks to try and, you know, keep the peace almost. They're saying, you know, we don't want it. So I'm hoping that someone over here will have taken note of that as well.
The one bit that I'm a bit confused about, and I've not used a BlackBerry. So similarly, the kind of the BBMs, the BlackBerry Mobile, I thought all those messages were encrypted, and that was more of the kind of root cause of some of the rioting. You know, it seemed to be, it wasn't Twitter, it wasn't Facebook, it was this, you know, and nobody can get to the messages. And although BlackBerry were saying we're helping police, a lot of people were saying, well, they're maybe helping where people's locations are, but they're not, because all the messages are encrypted, nobody can see them. But
well, there was a story. Someone has to have the decryption, well, you know, way of
there was
decrypting.
A story on Tuesday that says the police did actually manage to, and I've used the words hack, and get into these messages, and they prevented seemingly some of the Olympic sites and some of the more, you know, prominent places in London were also targets, and they actually prevented trouble there.
Well, it's unlikely that they did that without help. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
I mean, and I know that companies now are getting attacked by hacker groups for, you know, collaborating with the police, and, you know, it just, I mean, we've had stories about that this week. But you know, if the police ask you for information, you've got no choice. You've got to give it up. Especially if there's good reason like this.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway, switching gears. To quote a really crummy podcast that I listen to, switching gears, a massive story this week. Google buys Motorola Mobility.
Not just buy it, they kind of took it by force, yeah, by just burying it in money.
So $12.5 billion.
In cash?
In cash.
That's just showing off. Do you think they reeled off the dollar bills?
But the thing is, it's totally unheard of. Usually it's all, you know, stock and all sorts of other things, and
yeah,
and it was like, no, we've bought it in cash.
63% premium on the closing value of the shares. You can see why people took that up, can't you?
And the thing to point out is, so Motorola Mobility is the kind of hardware side of Motorola, so they've not bought the whole of Motorola, but it's the hardware, the mobile technology, the set-top boxes, and I think they also have some they have some video technology in there as well. So there's a whole smattering of technology. But it is a loss-making...
And about, was it 1,900 members of staff, something along those lines as well?
Yeah. But the thing is, it's a loss-making firm. You know, so it doesn't make a profit. You know, so what quickly became clear, it was mentioned a couple of times in the press release that Google put out, it was all about patents. You know, so it's become the story of the summer, really, for us kind of tech folk.
They've, you know, Google have realized, I mean, they hadn't virtually, well, I say virtually, no, they had about 1,000 patents or patents, however you want to say it. This gives them another 17,000.
Yes.
And 7,500 pending as well.
Yeah.
So it's Google realizing that they have to protect Android.
Yes.
And this was a way into doing that. Let's throw some money that we seem to have, you know, rooms full of it, so let's throw some money at this. I mean I'm sure it's not the only angle on that why they've done it, you know, there must have been other factors as well, but I'm sure this was a big factor in it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been it seems to be the kind of overwhelming factor. You know, if you look at it from a, you know, which hardware partner would be going by, you know, I don't think they would have chosen Motorola. Although they talked up the kind of, we've got the Droid and the Motorola have been very much behind Android, but
Motorola signed up 100% behind Android, basically. What other options did they have? Not that many.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is, if it was purely hardware, I think there were maybe other options. You know, going and buying a Nokia would maybe have been an option. I know,
but
Microsoft.
Nokia with Microsoft, yeah.
But not in the hardware side. You know, so I think they don't own the company. You know, I think they've got a kind of a relationship there. And I think if they're throwing about this kind of money, I mean, they have thrown a massive amount of cash at it. And I just hope this is the end of lots of talk about, you know, patents. I'm sure it's not.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be. The end game is going to be the same, whatever, which is going to be they have to even the playing field out between themselves. Otherwise, it'd be, you know, they'd just destroy themselves.
Yes.
But it's just, it shows how much money you've got to have to get into this game now.
Yep. And I mean, the good news is some of the kind of the patent firms that are basically just there to, you know, to do this kind of, you know, chase after patents and chase after suing people, a lot of their share prices dropped massively on the back of this news, which was a good sign. You know, it was like, this is hopefully coming to an end.
Still, I mean, I say Google have doubled their size as far as employee numbers go by doing this. So it shows what a big responsibility they've taken on, especially a loss leading one. And shows how big they think the task of, you know, acquiring patents and whatever. I mean, the thing is, they have now got a full channel. They have got an Apple model if they want it. They've got everything from operating system down through to manufacturing down to delivery, you know. So they've got everything they need to be Apple if they want. The only hangback on that will be how do other providers react to that. So other people that have signed up to the Android, you know, process, will they think it's unfair that Google can, you know, effectively have a Google phone from top to bottom?
But they did kind of press gang out some statements from HTC and Samsung, etc., which were all saying it's a great move and it protects Android. I'm sure they've got concerns, and I'm sure, I mean certainly Microsoft shares picked up a bit because people are thinking it now strengthens Windows as a platform. You might see more of these vendors, instead of relying on Android so much, they might think, well, hold on, we might have to have a foot in both camps here.
Yeah, the press releases were extremely coordinated, I think would be a fair way of saying it. I haven't read them all individually, but they all effectively towed the party line. They had a key line that they all put in there.
Yeah. I'm just jumping to the page now. So, Samsung, we welcome today's news, which demonstrates Google's deep commitment to defending Android, its partners and ecosystem. From Sony, I welcome Google's commitment to defending Android and its partners.
Yeah. So they clearly all had a big meeting before this announcement to reassure and to lay out positions. And I'm sure that is that Google would have laid out that, yeah, we're doing this for patents. We're not here to attack your business. We, you know, going forward, but they might do something with it. But I think not. They probably agreed on a timescale where they wouldn't do that.
And Google has said that, you know, Motorola will be run as a separate business. They're not. They won't give it advantage. They will try and, you know, keep them separate.
They're going to have to sell to themselves, effectively.
Yeah,
is what's going to end up being the.
Yeah, which sounds.
I mean, that's not unheard of.
No, but it reminds me of kind of like BT and the BT Open World stuff, you know, which was supposed to be
BT
separate.
BT have to be a customer of themselves.
Yeah, that went well.
Never quite works like that, but yeah, I think there'll be an agreement at least that, you know, nothing's going to happen in the next year, say.
So a massive deal, and from one massive deal to one, it's just breaking as we do this podcast. So it might actually be bogus and not actually happen, but we need to mention it. HP are rumored to be buying Autonomy, which is a kind of search business, kind of database business, but they're going to pay $10 billion for this company, and seemingly spin off their hardware business, which, you know, straight away you think, well, it's WebOS, you know, so that's a massive change, a massive shift.
Well, how much did they pay? They only just recently bought WebOS, and they paid an awful lot of money for it.
Yeah.
And they were going to integrate it into a whole ton of things. And the latest thing is consumer appliances.
Yeah, so it was because WebOS was going to be in the next, you know, batch of printers that were coming out and all that kind of stuff.
Printers, photocopiers, they're talking about fridges, all sorts of things they were talking about, yeah.
And I think...
And you're saying this is now saying they're going to get rid of it?
That's the rumors tonight.
Okay.
And I think it was, and fair enough, I think a lot of your tech crunches and stuff, you could always see they're posting a lot of rumors, but it was one of the bigger, you know, almost like the kind of Wall Street Journal types that posted it as a breaking news to say that, and I'm just going through Twitter to see if I can see it. It was Bloomberg breaking Hewlett-Packard to announce acquisition of Autonomy and spin off its personal computer business.
Yesterday's American news was that HP have basically, you know, they've got just released their new touchpad, which is their first WebOS tablet, and people like Best Buy they bought up 250,000 of these things, and they only sold 25,000. It seems that, you know, to be a success now, you have to sell out in your first day, which I think is unreasonable to expect on anything, but that seems how the market looks at things now. But they're trying to get a way out now and sell these back to HP.
Absolutely, I've just the usual kind of quick notes that I've just done. You know, post PC world, you know, you're looking at iPads and Apple, you're looking at Androids and Google, and you're wondering, you know, is this the kind of, are we starting to see the end of something like Windows? Although it's massively everywhere, is this now the kind of the change? IBM, which was struggling for a while, is now one of the top five companies in the world. And again, it's all software and services. And it looks like that's where HP are going as well. And I mean, just when you're talking about the touchpad, there's an article came out today, which I've not got in the show notes, but I'll add in later. They surveyed 1,000 people, and this was in America, and 95% of them didn't say they wanted a tablet, they wanted an iPad. And this is what seems to be coming out today. There's not a tablet market. There's an iPad market. And unfortunately, they're dominating at the moment.
Again, I think there is now. You know, I think the Galaxy Touchpad is Galaxy. What's it called? We're coming on to it later.
The
Galaxy Tab 10.1. So yeah. We'll talk about that in a bit. That is a compelling proposition as an Android tablet device. Yet it's not just all about the device. It's got to be about the infrastructure that sits behind it. And Apple have done that, and they've ticked it off. And it's very, very hard to break into that market because people don't have the App Store. As they say in their adverts, if you haven't got Apple stuff, you haven't got the App Store.
Absolutely. And I guess there's a couple of examples. One of the chaps that I work with, he picked up, I was going on holiday, taking a short break last week, picked up an iPad for his daughter just to watch movies. And that's them like, oh, it's fantastic. One of the other chaps I work with, he's building his own house. 8 TVs, he's looking at distribution systems, and what's going to drive it is a couple of iPads and everybody else has got touches. And it's just the once you've made that commitment, once there's almost like they've got that foothold now, that if you go back a few years, you know, a lot of people didn't have an Apple at all, didn't have a Mac, and you know, iPods kind of kicked it off, and it's just now scary.
Biggest scary, company scary. In the world. Bigger than oil.
Bigger than oil. Yes. Moving along, LinkedIn. Makes a dick move.
Nice title. Yeah. So LinkedIn.
Do you use LinkedIn?
Right, I have an account, and every now and again, someone else finds it, and then it pings through, and I say, "Yeah, I know them."
And that is how I use it. I've not even got it up to date. I made a stab about 3 years ago at putting some things in, and I see other people that have really, you know, they've really almost got their CV fully in it. And they're connecting all these people, and I'm like,
I know for a fact though, there are, you know, if you are looking for a job, it's not a bad place to put your CV out there and tell people you're looking around. I know people that have got headhunted through it just on a couple of lines in their CV, effectively. So, I think if I was looking for a job, then you'd probably find me on there a bit more.
Yes.
I'm not. So you know.
So
I'm not.
So they made a dick move, a bit like Facebook. With regards to online privacy, they made a recent change. So, and I mean, just to be reminded, I've got 100 million users. So this isn't a small network. This is a massive.
Now, 100 million users who just occasionally tick. Oh yeah, I know them.
Yeah. But basically, they automatically opted in all its users to a social advertising program without informing them. Apart from putting a blog post up now, I'm sure.
Who reads blog posts? Very, very few people.
And I'm pretty sure there's very few will read LinkedIn blog posts.
So
basically if you viewed a third party advert on this network, you will then see user profile pictures and names of connections if that connection is recommended or followed a brand, you know. So basically
it puts the name of the people that you know next, name and photo of the people you know next to a brand that they have said, yeah, I like you.
So anytime,
without their knowledge or acceptance of that. So you know, when I'm trying to think of dodgy examples, but you know what I mean.
And I guess in some ways people were saying, well, yes, it's a terrible move, but you're going to be following things like, you know, I might follow Oracle or I might follow other things like that. You know, it's all going to be kind of work related. But at the same time, it doesn't necessarily mean I endorse it. It just means I've got maybe some skills in that area. You know,
that's
so
exactly it.
It's a big difference. So there's 4 steps you need to take to opt out of this. You
kind of a simple 4-step process.
Exactly. You go to your settings.
More clicks than you've ever done in the
LinkedIn account. On the account tab, click manage social advertising, uncheck the box next to LinkedIn, may use my name, photo, and social advertising, and click the save button. And this is it's a horrible step. It makes you wonder what they'll do next. Because seemingly also it's not easy to leave LinkedIn. So if you actually want to leave, it's convoluted, and people have been Googling. Do a Google search, it's like how to's and how you officially leave it, because they've made it difficult. And also, seemingly, if you've got over a certain amount of connections, they make it almost impossible to leave. So it's
also caused a problem in, it's one Nordic country, isn't it, where you have, I think it's a Nordic country, where you have to officially get everyone to sign into these things, and obviously they've signed up all those users as well, so they might be in trouble in the courts in this as well.
Yes. So let's move on. Something far nicer. A good story before a bad story before some great stories.
Hey.
Amazon has released a web-optimized Kindle reader for PCs and iPad.
And very nice it is too.
It works really well.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't have to do a lot, does it? It just has to display some text, but it does it in a nice way.
No, but so recently they updated the iOS app. They took away the store links, and it made it all a bit kind of broken, So I've now got a Kindle app where I can read things, but I can't buy things. It doesn't even link to it, So it was like, and it's, I don't know. I still think Apple, it's just a terrible move by Apple to kind of add that kind of rule in. It just hurts.
They rolled the dice on it, didn't they? And yeah. It looks like people are going to find their ways around it. And it's going to accelerate web apps, which is, we've all said that's the best, that's the direction anyway.
Absolutely.
It's just pushing it to the
high. I mean, the cloud Kindle reader works really well. It's certainly far better on a Mac than the Mac app is, because the Mac Kindle app is pretty poor. So the web-based one is far, far better. And now you've got an app that works on the iPad and has got links to the store and works really well. And well played, Amazon. Good move.
Yeah. So they don't have to let go of any of the cash. They don't have to, no cut given away to Apple. Back in Apple's court, basically.
One app.
We found a way around.
One app, all platforms. All the benefits of web apps. And it's interesting to think that when the iPhone came out, Apple said, developers, develop for the web. And people were like, boo, because they couldn't take advantage of all the stuff in the iPhone, so they did an app store. And now, because of the restrictions, it's actually pushing people.
Having said all that, though, I think it is only Chrome and Safari based. It's not cross-browser here at the moment, is it? You've got to have either Chrome or Safari.
They've got some odd little restrictions in there, and it doesn't work in the iPhone either, which is maybe no bad thing considering its size. But overall, well played.
Indeed.
Not well played. I've realised I've turned into Mr. Anti-Apple tonight.
Come on. You said that LinkedIn made a dickish move. This is also...
This is back to all the patents and nonsense. Now, this is rubbish. So Apple won a suit to block Samsung 10.1 sales across Europe, apart from the Netherlands. No idea
why. Did this break last week, or was this just after we podcasted last week?
It was the 9th of the 8th.
Yeah,
so it's probably just after. So basically, they've went to this, it's a regional court in Dusseldorf. So seemingly, this place in Dusseldorf is Europeans' equivalent of Texas. This small place in Texas with all these daft patent suits. This is much the same. And, Apple won this, a permanent injunction, which blocked the sales across Europe, apart from the Netherlands. And the bizarre bit, what I couldn't believe afterwards, Samsung weren't given the opportunity to even, protest their side of it.
No, it just got absolutely, the judge considered there was a case to be answered, and therefore the injunction was immediate.
Absolutely
like,
crazy.
Whoa, how do you know?
Absolutely crazy.
So it was based on the slave, I think they said something like the slavish way that Samsung made the Galaxy Tab 10.1 look like an iPad.
Yes, and what's interesting is, see if they talked about the, it seemed like it didn't talk about icons, because a lot of the icons are same color, same style. So if you look at the icons, they look familiar. And they've also got, if you look at the kind of, how you've got the Apple proprietary dock connector? They've got almost the same dock connector, and it's white, but it's just slightly different. So it all gives off the impression I'm kind of using an Apple product. And to be honest, why would you copy that dock connector? If I was another company, I would be doing anything but that. I would be... USB, micro USB. So if that was the argument, fair enough. But they were doing it on, it looks like a tablet. And they had the proportions of a tablet and said, they've copied us. Nobody else can copy.
I don't know if you picked up on this, but it turned out that the document they submitted to the court had a doctored picture. Now, we don't know where this doctored picture came from, because where the Galaxy Tab is you know, widescreen format. The iPad is obviously not a widescreen.
Yep.
And the picture that they submitted in the court documents was of the Samsung with a squished aspect ratio to make it look
And they also
more
changed
similar.
The thicknesses as well. And, you know, so it really, it's either they deliberately did it or they're just amateurish. And it just shows you it just shows the folly of all this. It's now been reversed slightly, and it's not the whole of Europe, it's just Germany.
Yes, now it's reversed that because of some of these things that have been raised and the appeal that's gone out. Yes, it is only Germany. It's still a dickish move. You know, this thing looks like a tablet, and you know the things looked like tablets before that. You know, the iPad made a tablet.
Totally agree. I mean, but that would mean every telly. You know what I mean? You know, whoever did that first LCD telly could basically shut everybody else down if this was the case. It's rubbish.
Exactly that. I mean, okay, they might have a slight bezel here or a bezel there, but you know, TVs look like TVs, don't they?
And I think there's a difference between
fridges look like fridges. What the hell would you do?
Cars. What are you going to do? It's got four wheels.
where do you draw this line? And to go after this, just that's I don't think Samsung's any threat to Apple in this market. As we said, they've created their own market.
That's the bit that annoys me. That Apple are absolutely crushing everybody right now. And see, if you look at all the money this is getting spent on, you look at all the money that's getting spent in the patents we talked about earlier. Spend that on getting my bloody, you know, what do you call it, Retina display on an iPad, please. Give me that.
Socially, from a social point of view, it is a waste of money. What could that money do? You know, that's the shame of it. It's not doing anything. It's just pants.
I know.
And then for them to go after it as well. You know,
I want Samsungs and Apples and Google and Microsoft and Oracle. I want them all to be, you know, deliver me products that work better, deliver me something new and fresh. I look at every so often the little nuggets that come out of Google, and you want that everywhere.
All the time, yeah.
And I know.
I guess we get spoilt by that sometimes in that
we do,
it can't happen every day.
But 18 billion.
You know what could 18 billion do for you?
18
exactly?
billion just this year, just on patents is scary. And that's not including all the legal fees. You know, anyway.
The good thing about this is that it got the Galaxy Tab in the news for, as I say, all publicity is good publicity.
But nobody,
and it
nobody
raised the profile of it.
But it's in our press. It's not on the mainstream press. It's not Apple made a dick move.
Oh, this is all across America again.
Yeah, but I know, but it was never Apple made a dick move. Just people need to come out and be negative about Apple for a few weeks. Just reset expectations. There you go. You'd never thought I'd say that.
Hold on.
I did give some blood this week. Maybe it's
that's it. You're feeling weak. That's what it is.
Oh, I tell you, they took out both arms.
In a week that they solved your crashing problem as well, eh?
They did. And I should just point out.
There's
no
thanking.
10.7.1 came out. It was a tiny update, 17 meg. You know, so
hey, at last.
but a tiny update and then one reboot later and it no longer crashes, you know, so it's great. Thank you.
Sorted.
Thanks, Steve. a couple of UK stories. Orange film to go. I don't know any Orange customers anymore.
I've come off Orange since I can't get signal. Yeah.
Yeah, so but basically they've teamed up with Apple. Boo. They've teamed up with Apple to offer the ability to rent a free movie every week. So you text film to go to 85060 and you get a redemption code, and that can be used on a Thursday to rent a movie. Now, it's not any movie. It's a fixed movie that they've tied up with beforehand, but still.
Yeah. Now, is this is it a replacement for is it Orange Wednesdays, whatever it was called, where you go to the cinema and get two for one?
I think this is alongside.
So this is another film kind of thing.
Yep. So they've done the Orange Wednesday for a number of years now.
Yeah, yeah. It's been around for years and years. I think probably five or so. Great offer. It's great that it's another thing, but it does seem very limited. It depends on what they choose in the week. And it will cost you 35p because that's how much it costs to send the text.
Yeah, it's a lot of money for text.
It's a lot for a text, but not a lot for a movie rental. But it is a lot for a movie rental that you don't really want.
Yeah, but it's a lot of money for text.
It is.
Shocking amount. In fact, and the thing is, I was going to say, you know, how many characters in a text? It's a word film to go.
Yes, they're they're making a little bit, but really, I don't think you can moan at 35p. Okay, you can moan at 35p.
It's fair four enough. And a bit pence per letter. And that took me far too long to work out.
That's could hear the gears turning.
Exactly. BBC, I've updated iPlayer for the TVs. So they have... iPlayer appears on a whole lot of different platforms, as we've talked about numerous times. And one of those platforms is on televisions now. So whether you've got a smart television or whether you've got a connected device that is displaying iPlayer. So it's now much more like a TV channel. It's HTML5 based. It's much more intuitive to use, and it's less like a software app and more like a channel, and you flip between the different BBC channels that are available. Initially out on this PlayStation 3. That's probably the only reason I've got to switch that PlayStation 3 on.
I haven't turned it off for months.
I have no guilt about that, because I warned everybody that talked about buying it. It's like, I don't think you're going to play it too much.
And I knew that was going to happen. It was just, I had to play Gran Turismo.
And lasted
about a month. That was it.
Yeah. So yeah,
this does look good though. It looks nice and slick. And they're saying that, you know, the iPlayer is, I don't know how many fold increase they said, but it's a massive increase that they've seen, fivefold increase in 6 months and the use. So they're serving up 3.1 million programs a month, which is a lot. And just to sort of highlight, they're saying that they want to aim at the older demographic. And my parents have just got a FreeSat box. They've now got wireless plug sets going, and they've got iPlayer on the TV, and they love it, absolutely love it. So I think I'm sure they'll enjoy this new update.
Yep, and I think that's the difference. iPlayer, the iPlayer has now got away from the kind of techie geeky world. It's now just people have understood that. Oh yeah, iPlayer, I'll just watch it in that.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway,
good for them. Anyway, so we'll see that roll out anyway.
Yes. Now games, finally.
Game stuff.
So a couple of bizarre ones first. I thought so. Sony price cuts. PS3 is now at $199, so I've taken £50 off. The Reckoning Street price is going to be around $180, so pretty good price for the kit.
Compelling for a Blu-ray player.
Yeah, games. Basically, not so much.
Well, it's got good games on it as well. It's just that
you know. More than three good games.
I don't.
That are.
No,
not
I can
cross,
name you the AAA. I can name you the AAA titles. So Solid Snake, wherever it was.
That says
Metal Gear Solid.
That says it all. The bizarre one was a new cheaper version of the PSP. So this isn't the new one that's coming out next year, but this is the one that's out now, but without Wi-Fi, and it's going to have a price point. I mean, they've basically said it's €99. They've not confirmed the UK price, but that's going to be down at £80, £70.
Yeah, it's getting into those regions of, maybe worth it just for a couple of the games, but yeah. You know. Doesn't what it is doing is it's getting in the Christmas market. Is the kid goes, I want the new Sony handheld.
Absolutely.
And you know, they end up with a PSP instead.
Yeah. But technically, it is the new handheld.
Yeah. Yeah, so when they go into the shop, my son wants the new handheld. There you go.
So that was the kind of slightly... And fair enough, there was a whole... I mean, it was GamesCon this week, so there's a whole lot of different game announcements as well at the same time. Nothing particularly stunning, but I thought... You know, from a Sony point of view. And we'll cover...
Yeah, maybe it'll spark some interest. I'm sure it will. If you were thinking about doing it, it'll definitely tip the balance, won't it?
The stranger one was a slimmer, cheaper Wii. So there's a...
Yeah.
So there's a Wii... What is it? Wii U coming out next year?
Yeah.
this isn't coming to America. It's only Europe. And it's going to be slimmer. It's going to be cheaper. It is still a Wii. And it doesn't have the GameCube compatibility.
Yeah, so you can't play GameCube games, and I don't think you can attach the GameCube controller either anymore.
And it's going to be look different, but nobody's seen it. But it'll be out before the end of the year.
So our argument for a number of months now has been that surely everyone who was going to buy a Wii has bought a Wii. And I cannot believe that a slimmer, smaller Wii is going to encourage any more people to buy it.
If I go back 4 years, you couldn't get a Wii for love nor money. You know, it was eBay prices were massive. It was sold out everywhere.
You couldn't buy controllers anywhere. They just sold out. It
got past that. You know, so many people bought it. It was a mass market seller, and it just fell off a cliff because I don't think the games. I don't think the kind of the community that bought it were more social gamers. They weren't the hardcore constantly buying games. It was a different market. And it fell away. I mean, things like the...
I think to say it fell off a cliff is unfair, seeing as it was the most successful console
What I mean is it sold a massive amount early.
Yeah.
And then it was like, well, the market's gone now because so many people have bought it. And they brought out the kind of yoga boards and stuff. And it was like...
And how many times can you play Raven Rabbits or Raven Rabbits 2 or Raven Rabbits 3? You know, the ideas also dried up. The ideas kind of dried up, didn't they? They all ended up being quite samey. And I think the same is going to happen to Kinect as well. But that's part of a... We'll see. I haven't seen any new novel...
No.
I mean, there's been a couple of novel approaches, but not enough.
No.
You know?
No. And that's what I've noticed as well. It's just... It's like the dance game version 2 and the sports version 2. And it's better than last year, and it's refined, but it's not. Give me something different.
Yeah, but I think Kinect's probably got more chance of doing some novel stuff going forward. But we'll see, especially if it's completely baked into their next console as well.
Absolutely. On live.
Yeah, so they've been coming for a while. This is the stream games into your computer, onto your TV or whatever, rather than having your old PC running them.
Or onto your TV, onto your Mac, via your browser, onto your iPad.
This is the one that we said would never happen, could never work, would never work. Works in America, now it's coming over here, and still everyone's skeptical, yet everyone seems to say, oh, it does work.
Yep, so September 22nd, we'll get to actually play it here. It supports a number of games, so Assassin's Creed, Homefront, Batman Arkham Asylum. But Electronic Arts and Activision have yet to announce any supporting titles, even though they said they were behind it 100% when it first came out. You can subscribe for free at the official UK website, which I think is just on live.co.uk. And then you can start to do things like where you can rent individual games for limited periods or buy them, or you can buy unlimited access, or you can pay for... So UK prices have yet to be announced, but US... Most titles offer a 3-day pass for $6, 5-day pass for $9, or full price between $20 and $60. Or you can do a play pack bundle, which is $10 a month. So
$10 a month, $120 a year to play most titles. I think that it's important to say that is most titles. It's not probably the big AAA ones. I think you're going to have to pay extra for those.
And my gut feel is I'll probably... pay for a month just to try it. Just to, does this actually work?
I think a lot
work?
Of people would do that.
Yeah. As we said, it's Mac, PC, iPad, Android tablets, and also you can get the set-top box. The one bit that has been clarified, they kept on talking about this partnering with BT, and we were wondering at the time,
just BT,
but it works on any broadband platform. Basically, the partnering with BT means that they're doing some special deals. If you're a BT customer, you get some bundling-type deals with your broadband.
I'm also sure that it's going to be very reliant on you being close to your... I know that the US version, they do line checks to check whether you're going to have a good enough experience. So you don't expect everywhere to be covered by the service. But if you happen to have a 50 meg connection down a fiber cable, you'll probably be all right.
Yes.
Worth a try at least. But I mean, those pricings, I'm not sure I'd pay £6 for a couple of days or whatever.
No.
But maybe, I mean, the thing is, if you actually analyse how much you do end up playing games, it does seem better value. But I don't think this service is going to be right for all types of games. I think we've covered that.
So
shoot 'em ups seem like surely it can't work. But again, everyone who's played it said it does. So I don't know. I'm probably not being fair.
Out of the list, I'm thinking things like, Batman Arkham Asylum would work.
Yeah, because it's not time critical necessarily. Yep. A bit of lag here and a bit of lag there probably won't affect that game. But you've got to imagine that a racing game, surely it can't work. But it worked with Burnout.
I'm still very skeptical.
Well, seeing as you've got a better chance than anyone, and if you are willing to put a month into it, it'd be good to see what it's like.
Yeah.
I'll spend your money for you there.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Shall I try the rural alternative? Yeah.
Google Plus have brought games out. Yeah, this kind of came out of nowhere. Just kind of said, well, from today we've got 16 games rolling out across the platform.
It was from today we're rolling out 16 games.
Yeah, but it was about a day later.
God, it took 3 days.
Oh, okay, it took 3 days. So there was 16 games available, Angry Birds, Bejeweled, and a few others that I can't remember, to be honest.
Yeah, and most people won't remember. They're only there. It's like launch titles, isn't it? You would never play them if it wasn't the fact they're out on day one.
My instant fear was this was going to be like Facebook, because I block every game update I see from anybody. I particularly blame you, Chris Hutchison, for this, who for a certain period went through every bloody Facebook game known to man and spammed the life out of it.
That was the only thing I did in Facebook, yes.
And the thing was, that was before they had the nice controls to say block all updates from this game. Yeah. It was like, oh no, how do I stop Chris telling me that he's playing Mafia Wars again?
And still, Google came out and out of nowhere, and I guess, you know, completely out of the blue for most people, they did it, and they did it right.
Yeah,
it's got its own little area. It's got its own little activity stream. So if you do want to post out your little achievements or your medals, whatever you want, you can, and it doesn't interfere the mainstream. And in fact, it's quite an interesting stream, but although I've got no activity in mine, so it means that no one does post out.
Oh no, I've got quite a few. I've got people are playing Collapse Blast Tournament and Collapse and Diamond Dash and Bejeweled and Angry Birds.
And I note that you've beaten my score.
Well, and we need to come clean on this. And I told you this before the podcast, and your reaction was far stronger than just that.
It wasn't podcastable, my reaction.
Well, the thing was, I didn't realize it was a weekly high score. So I was just before, it was just, I don't know, it was just a bit, I don't know, it was about 5 o'clock today, and I thought, I wonder if my high score has been beaten. And I went in and looked, and I had no score. It had been reset. And I saw a certain Chris Hutchison at the top, and I was like, you dog.
170,500 points in one blooming game of Bejeweled Blitz, and I thought I was safe. I thought I was running free. I thought I was laughing. How many did you get after 5 games?
254,000.
Oh, I almost unpodcasted myself here.
And
Git.
Happy days.
You broke my spirit. Anyway, that's social gaming for you, and it kind of works. It's clever, and I like the fact that it's tucked away in its own little area of Google Plus. And it looks like, you know, the games that they've got on offer are, you know, the right kind of games. They're quick fire time wasters.
All very nicely done as well. And it doesn't pull up the stream. It's a separate you know, button, separate tab, separate, you know, from everything. And I really like it.
Made Facebook sweat a bit. They announced on the same day. Clearly, they got wind of each other's release somehow, because they announced on the same day. Everyone sort of saying that Facebook's one was kind of Facebooky and that it didn't really help things. But nevertheless, they felt they had to get an announcement out there.
Yes. But I quite liked it. I even did some Angry Birds, but got very bored. You know, it really annoys me when people say Angry Birds is like one of the best games ever written, and you're like, sod right off.
It's moorish when you first start.
But it's not one of the best games ever written.
I've never tried to crack it, never bothered.
It just irritates me when people are like, oh, it's so addictive, it's the best game ever. And you're like, get a grip.
Speaking of
best games ever, we're coming up to the end of the games drought. So I'm going
So summer's traditionally the time when no games get released because everyone's outdoors playing.
Yes, so I'll let you take us through the big games coming out.
Well, so these are, I mean, again, we're not there yet, but we're only talking, we're starting about a month away, really.
Although demos are coming out soon, so demos will be over two, 3 weeks, hopefully.
We'll start seeing full-on previews, demos, and all that kind of good stuff coming along soon. Gears of War 3. Now, so this is probably the first big release of the start of, I guess, autumn. A big game. It's going to be AAA. Am I looking forward to it? Not really. Are you looking forward to it?
Oh, no. I'm podcasting. I can't just shake my head. It's
Gears of War 1 was an incredible technological achievement and quite a fun game to play.
Yes.
Gears of War 2 was like this uninteractive, on rails, boring, frustrating, crappy shoot 'em up.
I didn't even like the multiplayer that much.
I played it a few times and it was very similar to the first one, which got frustrating. Yeah. And people that are good at it, I'm sure, enjoyed it, but I didn't.
Yeah. So
I just ended up getting killed.
I'm actually debating whether I'd pick it up.
It's a hard one, isn't it? Because I think the temptation, I mean, depending on what the reviews come out like, I think there will be a temptation, especially because it's the first one out. There'll be a draw to it. But I'm like you. I'm definitely umming and ahhing, and there's a good chance I won't bother. A game that doesn't really interest me, but other people, I'm sure, will get excited. FIFA Soccer 12. Do you know? I don't even know the details of what they've kind of updated. It's their yearly update,
so
obviously.
I guess the interesting thing this time, they've gone for the graphic engine is much the same, but the physic engine's changed. So they've tried to make it more, you know, as I bump into another character, it's a much more realistic, you know, feel. You know, so there's more different animations, and there's a more kind of physical presence. You know, so tackles and crunching really, you know, if I slide into something, it really does impact. They've also introduced a new dribble system to try and help with that. And I guess from me, the big thing is the online side of things. And, you know, FIFA 10, you know, made some real breakthroughs. And FIFA 11, they were talking about, you know, clubs, and you could have your, you know, full
teams online.
They
nearly got it right, FIFA 11, as far as I heard.
It was all right. But in some ways, they'd made some backward steps. And we've always been frustrated with, you know, it was so nearly there. But yet so far, sometimes, you know, I think, you know, myself and Baum, and how many nights we'd sit there and like, good God, if it just worked, you know. And it was when FIFA 11 came out, they really kind of, you know, dropped the ball, he says. But they really did make some, you know, online was kind of broke for a couple of weeks before they eventually put a patch out to fix it. And it was so frustrating.
It's par for the course with an EA game, though, that they don't have enough servers when it first launches, and then
so this year
eventually it comes good.
This year, the new features to online clubs, etc., is that there's none, and they're focused on making it right. So that's the guy was fairly forthright and says, we're sure people will appreciate if we just get what we were wanting to do last year right. That'll be a big step forward. So I'm hoping, you know, when we actually pick the game up, it just works.
Still, give them a week, to iron their servers out.
No, I just want it to work. Everybody pre-orders it and wants to get it a day early, and you get it, and it's like, no.
It doesn't work. So that's out on 30th of September. The next one up after that is the 14th of October. Forza 4. Looking very nice. I'm sure most people have seen, or people who are interested have seen, the graphics engines looking pretty spangly.
Oh, yes.
They've added some more social features, which look, you know, a little bit wanky, but it depends what you like out of your games.
You get Jeremy Clarkson giving overviews of cars.
Yes, yeah, so, and you got the Top Gear tie-in, and they've tried to do it in a sort of clever way. Looking forward to that. For me, that's a definite purchase. So,
yep.
And they've increased the number of online players as well, which is good. Hopefully, it can.
Let's not mention Forza and online.
Let's not do that. No. After that, we got this probably game that I'm whacking in there, Batman Arkham City. I really enjoyed the first one. I didn't play when it first got released. I played not that long ago. Really enjoyed it. And that's out on 21st of October.
Yeah, and I'll definitely be picking that one up. I might even keep that in as a kind of little Christmas purchase, because a lot of the other ones are all online related to this. You could almost pick up at any time and enjoy it.
And that's
it.
Exactly what I did. I played it just after Christmas in that kind of dead period. Yes. 28th of October, we got Battlefield 3. So one of the first of the massive shooters. Again, probably don't let the fact that EA own it put you off. But although I think they're forcing you down there, a special server route. They won't sell it via Steam, which is an interesting decision. But this is massive battlefields and, you know, little troops, I guess, in the battlefield tradition. Looks I never really played the battlefield other than that arcade game, so it's hard for me to
I really enjoyed, I mean, many moons ago I enjoyed Battlefield on the PC, and you know, there's Battlefield Vietnam. I really loved the fact it was, you know, bigger scale, you know, than a lot of the other shooters at the time. And I must admit, I'm really looking forward to this. I just hope they've just not made a Call of Duty clone, because we're going to get Call of Duty soon enough, you know. So
that's the
same
thing.
Game.
We've got Ghost Recon, and that looks a bit Call of Duty like as well. So and that's out early next year. After that, PS3 has a look in with Uncharted 3, it's probably been their biggest, most epic series that they've had, other than the Metal Gear Solid sort of titles. And an interesting sort of type of game, but it's not one that I got into I think I played number one or number two, I can't remember. That shows how much interest I paid to it. But anyway, that's out on
it's 2nd. Fantastic. It's a fantastic game.
There you go, 2nd of November.
Yep, and I would say if you've got a PS3, based on 1 and 2, definitely get it.
Yeah, so that's sort of Tomb Raider-esque, isn't it, in some respects, that kind of angle. Yeah, story.
But the set pieces are amazing, the graphics are amazing, and I think the gameplay actually was some of the best of that genre, really.
I think I got to a sneaky part, as in you had to sneak around an area, and then I got annoyed because I couldn't get past it. Anywho, Call of Duty, yes, so that is out in November, 8th of November. Modern Warfare 3 looking... Again, if you look at the videos and stuff, looking very spangly.
Yes.
You going to get it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's a buy. It looks pretty incredible. I mean, I'd say it's hard not to because that's what everyone will be playing for the next 6 months, I think. And then beyond that, we've got the next Elder Scrolls, so the next sort of role-playing massive release, 11th of November. Again, looks similar in concept to the first one, but probably just bigger and more epic in scale.
Yeah, a couple of PS3 games that I've maybe been a bit unfair about, because you'd said before we started PS3, and I was like, Uncharted is hee-haw else. I've lost again. Resistance 3. So Resistance has been a kind of big shooter for the PS3, and it's out on September 9th. Getting a lot of good press. The cover is amazing because it's a cover by Ollie Moss. So if you have ever read Empire or you ever look at some movie posters, just look at Ollie Moss's work. But, so that's Resistance 3. It's probably worth bearing in mind. One that's cross-platform that we've maybe missed, F1 2011.
Yes,
and that's out September 23rd. You know, so it's very close to Forza. But I'll be interested. I think that'll be very much depending on the review. If the review is very good, I can see me picking it up.
I cannot believe that they're going to have changed much from last year. Last year they had a good game. It was a good game. It was actually better on PC when you drove it with a wheel. Whether I'd get it on console again, I doubt, to be honest.
Yeah.
Forza would take too much time away anyway.
Exactly. Two classic PS2 games that have been updated for the PS3 is Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. So these are, you know, amazing games. They've been updated. They're now in HD, and I'll definitely be picking this up. This is out at the end of September. Again, it's one of these ones post-Christmas. You could probably pick it up then and enjoy it, and it'll be a lot cheaper. But it's actually only $27.99. You know, so it's not.
So we'd like to see 1999 a post-Christmas then.
Yeah, you know, so that's definitely one I would pick up then. And then the last one, because there is just a mountain of games, is Deus Ex Human Revolution.
That hasn't really excited me that much. But Deus Ex, the original, was an epic, epic game.
And it's out
I don't think
week,
they've ever recaptured.
It has picked up some early reviews of, like, you know, 10 out of 10.
Okay, so it might be worth a look then, because the first game, they've never recaptured it in all the three or four they've had since. So, but if they're getting good scores, then maybe they have.
And I think that's probably about it. You get your usual kind of things like Madden kicking around and all that kind of nonsense. But
yeah. In fact, they're not in here because they don't interest me.
Ooh.
I'm fickle.
You're thickle?
Thick, yeah, thicko.
Yeah. Is that it for games?
I think that's it for games.
I was forgetting I was kind of hosting because you're a good old role, and I thought he's going very quiet. So it's now on to picks. Chris, your pick for this week?
My pick is not having a pick.
Oh.
I choose to not have a pick. I'm rubbish at this. I promise I will come up with a good pick at some point.
I'll do two quick ones then.
Okay.
That are Mac related. Not iOS related, but they're Mac related.
Boo. You don't like Mac.
You do. You've got one. The Lion's out for Mac, as everybody knows. Now, one of the things about Lion is it's got a lot of really nice things, but it's also got some really annoying, you know, animations that you can't get rid of very easily. You know, even daft things like, you know, I'm clicking a mail to reply and, oh, how to animate some pops. And that's nice the first time you see it, but seeing you're doing something 100 times, that just gets right on my nipples. So there's an app called Line Tweaks. Surprisingly enough, not available via the App Store. So if you go to, ifredrick.com/applications, that's ifredrick.com/applications. And this allows you to do things like you can enable the 2D dock easily. It's just a very simple app with a series of checkboxes. So you can enable 2D dock. You can take away some of these animations, turn off auto spelling if you don't want to do it. You can change that disgusting leather UI away from iCal and address book.
It's interesting to note that every sort of top 10 features of, or you know, tweaks and things have nearly been all the things that they introduced in Lion that were different.
I know.
Everyone's scrambling for ways to get rid of it, and this is obviously a nice
and some people
easy way of doing that.
Some people don't like change, you know, so it's like a lot of it is change. But yeah. But I mean, I do detest things like, you know, how they've dressed up iCal on a dress book.
Yeah. If you can get rid of that, then brilliant. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah. So that's it's a free app. He's quite open to getting some PayPal donations, obviously.
Right.
But that's a nice little free app. Another free app, and it's one that I've mentioned alongside another pick 2 years ago. I didn't have to Google that at all. I remembered that. That's how keen I am. But there's an app called Sketch, which gets a lot of love in the Mac community. It's a great annotation app. So you can, you know, it sits in the menu bar. You can pick a window. You can, you know, snap it, or you can snap any bit of the screen. It's got some nice graphics for just overlaying arrows and text and then sharing it. It's really easy to share to Flickr, Dropbox, on your desktop, or up to sketch.com as well. So there was sharing options there. Now, it was in beta for about two and a half years, and lots of people use it when it was in beta. And they've kind of they messed around with sketch.com as a service and selling that. And then eventually it came on the App Store. And I think it was like, you know, $20 or £10. It was nothing very expensive. But for a great app, I just thought, I'll be buying that. Well, the big news today is that I've just been acquired by Evernote. And the app that was now used to cost $20 or whatever it was is now free. I would say if you've got a Mac, jump in the App Store and download Sketch. It's a fantastic app. It works really well. Super stable. And I really love it. So
I wonder whether they're going to integrate it into Evernote, because it's a sort of good match, isn't it?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. Evernote are doing a big kind of conference today all about their, is it the Evernote Trunk, which was all these other partner apps that they kind of tie up with, you know. So it has become, Evernote is becoming more and more about how it's glued into other services. So the Evernote Trunk is a, and also it's out today on Android as well. So Sketch for Android is out today, and it'll be out in iOS soon, because obviously a lot of people Mac related were like, hold on, you've done it for Android first, where's my iOS version?
Call it right to,
and I've said, don't worry, it's coming.
We're working on it, got to get through the App Store.
Yes, so that's my picks. That's our picks this week.
Yeah, there we go, our picks. I like that.
That's our picks this week. And that's our podcast over. If you'd like to find out more about us, our website is digitaloutbox.com. The more I use it, the more I realise we need to change it. So that might be my mission for the next few weeks.
We'll change one day.
No, it's going to change before year end.
Okay. We should never put timescales on these things.
It's going to change before episode 100. That's even sooner. That's really daft.
Yeah, what are you doing? Shush.
Email, we'd love to get any emails, info@digitaloutbox.com. We're on Twitter as Digital Outbox, we're on Skype as Digital Outbox. Chris, we can find out more about you.
I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. There you go.
And my website is END.net, and I'm on Twitter as Sweeper, which nobody will be able to find. And I think that's us, unless you're going to tell me I've forgotten something.
No.
Hey!
Just say it'd be nice to people to get in contact with, trying to start up a conversation of some sort. Good.
might be a kind of random conversation, but
could
hey-ho.
Yeah, just send us anything, because quite frankly it'll get on.
And on that note, goodbye,
see you later. To Bejeweled now.
I've just realised that shutting down Skype might have been a bit bold in case Henry turned up.
Ah.
But he's...
Yeah, sorry, Henry. Well, if he's not on Google Plus, he's no tech guy, is he?
That's harsh. He's not on.
Phew. He's run away.
Yeah, I'm sure he would.
Yeah, that was a bit... Sorry, Henry.
Sorry, Henry. That's
good. Cool. I've been on Skype and he hasn't messaged me, so...
Ah, that's okay.
There you go, that's fine.
You won't beat my Bejeweled high score anyway.
I really won't, because I don't know how you did it. You must have some super power-ups or something.
It's just nothing to do with power-ups. It's skill, man.
Clearly can't click fast enough. My youth clearly wasn't misspent.
Yeah, it was mine.
Right.
I'm playing it right now.
I think if I try and play this, I think my computer might crash.